I practiced in a clinic for years in Seattle where we had a lot of homeless patients. And I knew that any medication that I gave them was at potential risk of being taken out of their tents.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to HIMSCast. My name is Andrea Fox, and I'm senior editor of Healthcare IT News, a HIMSS media publication. I'm here today with Dr. Ben Zaniello, Chief Medical Officer of Point Click Care, and we're going to talk about whole person care today. In the current state of healthcare, most providers only have the information that they can see right in front of them while in the room with a patient. But would a diagnosis change if the clinician knew the whole patient, from their income status to which neighborhood they grew up in? Ben is going to help us answer that question and how cloud-based software can help achieve whole person care. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the program. What is happening where you are?
In general or specifically with healthcare?
Oh, in general. I always like to start with the general and move to the specific.
Sure. Well, I live in a lovely place. I live in Park City, Utah, and we are starting to feel the seasons here, which is a bit of a mixed blessing because we certainly went from a wet summer, which for Utah is good news, given that we often have a drought and water shortages, which unfortunately we still have. It's an easy segue from there into healthcare because not that we're talking about it today, but of course, water is absolutely critical to healthcare and people's health in general. And Utah is a place that certainly could be at risk for water deficiency sooner rather than later.
I could talk to you about that all day. I am a water advocate. Water is life. It is my element. So we'll have to do that another time. Is that your superpower? Are you a water advocate?
Yes, I'm a water advocate in the sense that I despite living in Utah and absolutely loving it and being a hardcore outdoor-oriented mountain bike skier, snowboarder, et cetera, Utah is not great in the water thing. And unfortunately, my greatest access to water here is a reservoir. And having moved here from Seattle, where I was surrounded by gorgeous water all the time, I miss it dearly. No, I always really define my superpower is if anybody looks at my resume and my background, they wonder a little bit about the choices I've made in life and how I haven't seemed to necessarily commit to one aspect of one career or particular subject. But I think the fact that I've worked in pretty much every aspect of the healthcare industry has given me the superpower of perspective, which is that I bring, I would like to think, not just a provider as a physician, but also as someone that worked within a large health system as a physician executive. Today, I work on what we call the sell side or for a vendor, a software company. So I have an informatics perspective. In fact, I worked in software before I ever became a doc. And then finally, I spend a lot of time working with health plans and have a pretty good understanding of how healthcare works from a financial perspective. And that brings me, I think, into a more realistic perspective when we talk about the practice of medicine, what works, what doesn't, where we can go, what would be too hard, that sort of thing.
Ah, so you're like a regular Renaissance person, a healthcare Renaissance person.
I appreciate your framing it as the positive. I always say that I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I know just a little bit about a lot of things to be dangerous.
I like that. Well, I'm really excited about today's topic. So let's start with what is whole person care and what are some of its outcomes that you've seen?
Sure. I think the most important aspect of whole person care is certainly in its name, which it's viewing people beyond the particular disease state that, say, an endocrinologist managing someone for their diabetes or an orthopedic surgeon fixing someone's broken leg. it's really taking the perspective that we are more than the sum of our parts. It brings in mental behavioral health. But I think critically, and again, this is a trending topic in a good way, it thinks about access to good health care, health equity. It thinks it includes the social determinants of health. So I can prescribe to you whatever pill I want. I'm putting it on a piece of paper. Can you actually get that medication? What is your health insurance? Can you get to the clinic? When you go home, are you able to keep your pills safe? I practiced in a clinic for years in Seattle where we had a lot of homeless patients. And I knew that any medication that I gave them was at potential risk of being taken out of their tents. And managing with that patient their access to medication, both being able to pick it up but able to store it, was part of my care for that patient versus simply saying, well, the best medication for you is this, while not taking into account their ability to get it. So again, I like the aspect of whole person care that really centers around, let's look at what outcomes we can achieve for this patient, recognizing it's not an academic study where if your blood sugar is this and I prescribe you this med, I will be able to reduce your blood sugar to this, which is what JAMA and New England Journal keeps telling me. Well, they're not, again, factoring in your access to the medication, your ability to take it. And of course, really important aspects of human nature, like the control of one's sugar and diabetes is not simply about medications. It's about managing your diet. And I know my own issues with impulse control. I have to recognize that my patients probably share those same issues. Again, going back to academia, at a University of Washington years ago, was an absolute wonderful study that showed you cannot treat someone with diabetes unless you treat their depression first. And in fact, if you look at the whole person, you need to manage their depression. And once their depression is better managed, then you can be effective with their diabetes. If you just view them as a diabetic, and that is the whole of their person, you will not succeed in their care.
So all of these pieces that you've talked about, other aspects of their life, what are the main questions, comments, or concerns that healthcare providers have about using this data?
Sure. I mean, first and foremost, it's really about access to the data, which is to get a whole, to get that entire view of a patient, there are a lot of barriers within the healthcare system. Some or even most of them come from a good place. In other words, one that's often mentioned, for example, is just the legal aspect of access to care. And that's, of course, HIPAA. Ironically, of course, if you ask even the average healthcare provider what the P stands for in HIPAA, they will almost inevitably tell you privacy. Ironically, it stands for portability. And the idea of HIPAA was to create a framework so that we could more easily share data. Importantly, I recognize that a health system worried about breaches would be potentially or often loath to open up their patient data to third-party vendors, to other health systems, to health plans, because of some of that sharing risk. And just, again, healthcare data breaches are tremendously important as being part of the VA breach many, many years ago and having to file my taxes in a particular way because otherwise every year someone is filing in my place. I recognize that healthcare data needs to be protected. That said, we do need to make it more portable. We need to make it easier for a provider to access the healthcare data about a particular patient in a care setting. My first company in this space really focused on sharing, on getting that data available to ED providers. Again, first practiced in Seattle. We had three hospitals in close proximity, Virginia Mason, University of Washington, Harborview, and Providence First Hill. And in this case, we had patients kind of circulating within these three hospitals on within a mile of each other all in one evening. And they really needed visibility on what had happened in the prior hospital so that they could support that. My company kind of focused on that space to optimize the care coordination between these facilities. And when I explained that to laymen, I explained that to my family about this is what my company did. The often response was, this is really how healthcare should work. That when we enter an emergency room, when we're first sitting with a provider, they actually already on the journey to knowing us. And I think that's really, really important. Do you want your healthcare provider spending all their time spelunking in the electronic medical record to find details of your lab results, your most recent medications, et cetera? You want them to have that information. You want it available in their workflow, but you'd actually like them to spend time understanding not necessarily what medication you're on, but what are the side effects that you're having from it so that they can manage those side effects. Because frankly, they don't have a lot of time in that visit to do it otherwise.
No, I was just, you know, thinking like if you compare this to banking, like banking has, you know, all the information when you call in for customer service. They know every conversation you've ever had. And they've got this picture of your finances, and it's somewhat complete, a greater degree complete than what we have when we interface with our healthcare providers. Like, they do not, they might not even know we spoke with somebody yesterday that's across the hall. And you have to point them to that information. So can you give us a big picture view of the data challenges associated with creating technology infrastructures to support whole person care, and then maybe dive into some of the specifics?
Sure. It's kind of the, I would say the barriers are numerous and they're kind of separated into a set of categories. So kind of first and foremost, there's the technological barriers, which is the whole world, though it may sometimes seem this way, sometimes is not on Epic. And particularly if you look at mental behavioral health, particularly if you look in the ambulatory environments or the post-acute environment where my company works in, we have our own medical records and our own protocols. So first, you have to overcome the fact that you need to create pipes between these EMRs so they're sharing data. So there is a technological piece there that has to happen that, in fact, takes work and needs to be prioritized by, frankly, very busy hospitals and or ambulatory clinics. The second issue I talked about a little before is the legal issues in HIPAA. There is real concern. The more you share data, the more likely that ne'er-do-wells could get a hold of that data. And then there is a concern for patient privacy. Do they want their data shared? Not only do we run into that HIPAA aspect, there is what's called, so lovingly, 42 CFR Part 2, which any provider in the behavioral health space knows very well. And it's a limitation on sharing information about substance use disorder and substance use disorder treatment. Again, it's coming from a good place. They essentially were worried about stigma associated with SUD and SUD treatment. So they wanted to limit it being shared. Well, of course, ironically, it's actually perpetuated issues with substance use disorder, because providers may be treating you and not able to access your history of SUD or SUD treatment, and therefore not be able to optimize your care. The third thing is probably the, well, I'm going to call it the dirtiest aspect of sharing data and providing data, which is a little bit the competitive side, which is have health systems, health plans, ambulatory providers, software vendors used HIPAA technological gaps and all of these things as excuses for not sharing data, when the real reason is that they view that data as proprietary and they don't want to share it with people because other people could essentially, in their views, make money off it, even if the intentions are good about, again, wanting to provide better patient care. So those kind of three areas, I think, are the traditional barriers, which are technology, the legal issues, HIPAA, privacy with that, and then finally that competitive aspect of care.
So what's next for whole person care? When do you actually see this coming to be, you know, the reality that we all hope for and not have to, you know, fight for as our own individual health advocates?
Yeah, I would view there as kind of three pathways. One, I think we're overcoming, which is just making what we consider traditional healthcare data more available. A lot of companies work in that space about sharing that data more easily. The big EMR vendors, including Point Click Care, is essentially allowing that data to be accessed more easily by other people. So again, it becomes more accessible to the two third parties, to additional providers at lower cost, making access for care more easy. So that's one thing that's happening. But again, back to whole person care being more than someone's diabetes, someone's lab values, the medication they're on, there's the mental behavioral health aspect of it. There has been a lot more kind of interest and advocacy on connecting the care of someone's mental illness with their physical illness. And I think there has been progress in that way. I would say that that's not where we want to be today. There is certainly stigma associated with it. There is also, frankly, again, speaking a little cynically, it's the healthcare industry hasn't figured out a great way to monetize behavioral health to the extent they have with whether it's pharmaceuticals or health plans, et cetera. So I would say there hasn't been as much progress in mental behavioral health. And then the third area, which I touched on earlier, which is the social determinants of health. And that is really where you bring in that whole person, which is the food, shelter, security piece, which is, again, I can focus even on your mental health as well as your physical health, but am I sure that you are in a safe place, that you don't have housing insecurity? How are you accessing food? How are you getting to clinic? All of these social determinants, we are finding more and more have a bigger impact on someone's care more than a single doctor's prescription.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us today, Dr. Ben Zaniello, Chief Medical Officer, Point Click Care. And thanks to our audience for listening to this episode of HIMSCast. Will you please come on again?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we encourage you to rate and review us. And if you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. Thanks again and have a great day.